session is finally over. Let's take a look back at what happened during the 2017-2018 session. I'm Gwen Gunther, president of the Wheeler Report. Today I'm joined by Mark O'Connell of Wisconsin Counties Association and Jerry DeShane of the League of Wisconsin Municipalities. So it seemed like the budget was the thing that would never end this year, and the session just kept going. So Jerry, let's take a look back. What happened early in the 2017-2018 session?
Well, the governor introduced a budget, and then we talked about the budget, and then they worked on the budget. Did they finally pass the budget? Oh, they did. That's right. No, what I'm getting to, Gwen, and Mark knows this too, the budget went into, what, October this year?
Or yes.
Into the fall. So that sort of sucked a lot of oxygen out of other things. We had a number of important but inside baseball-y sorts of issues that we worked on outside the budget process. But I think Mark is probably no different. Most of our attention was on the budget.
Yeah, the budget. I think the budget was the main game in town. But I think what happened in November of 16, we had elections. Republicans had control of the governorship in both houses. And I think the legislature thought big things were going to happen, and big things were going to happen quickly because you had basically one-party control. And then this issue called transportation came up, and it was pretty clear to everyone that a big thing regarding transportation was not going to happen, and that caused some lack of harmony between the two houses and the governor. And when that happened, I think that set the stage for the budget process. And as we all saw this past session, the legislature worked really hard on the budget, both houses, but there were a lot of issues. The Assembly and the Senate could not agree on some major items, did agree on some other major items. The governor played a significant role, but in the end, I don't think it was quite the harmonious one-party control type of budget document that people would have anticipated we would have had shortly after the November 16 elections.
So it wasn't just the budget that consumed our summer and our spring, though, when the governor came out and announced that he was doing negotiations with Foxconn. And that was suddenly something thrown into the middle of the budget that changed the dynamics in the building.
No question.
How did that affect, both the league and the counties association?
Well, all the air in the room was gone because it was all focused on Foxconn. And whether you agree or disagree with Foxconn really is irrelevant. It became the main issue of discussion and the main driver of virtually every conversation. It did not impact every other decision, but it put every other decision on hold until we've addressed this Foxconn issue.
Jerry?
Oh, I was just going to agree. And in fact, I was just down in Mount Pleasant last week. And it continues to be about the only thing, if you're in Racine, Kenosha, or even to a certain extent Milwaukee County, it continues to be about the only thing you talk about, whether it's gravel trucks moving from one end of the county to another 7 days a week, 365 days of the year. It's big. It's just an incredibly massive undertaking. And as Mark said, whether you think it's a good idea, bad idea, really doesn't matter. It's just going to capture our attention, frankly, now at the local level for the next 5 years.
You know, when you look at the session, while the budget was the major piece of legislation, it's the largest and most substantive policy document the legislature passes every 2 years. But when you look at it, there were some spikes that you might call issue areas. Foxconn was one. Opioids was another. Mining moratorium. Abolishment of the mining moratorium was another. And at the end of session, juvenile corrections was another. So we had this, let's call it regular, not necessarily run-of-the-mill, but legislation that occurs all the time that gets a certain level of attention. But then we had spikes of attention on various issues during and after, before and during the budget process. And those are the issues that kind of, I think, define the session.
All right. Well, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the budget and a little bit more about the fall session and what happened after the budget was done.
The League of Wisconsin Municipalities advocates for Wisconsin's 600 cities and villages, speaking up for local democracy and common-sense citizen-led government. Learn more at lwm-info.org.
So, when the budget was finally agreed to, we went immediately into a fall session, and it was what didn't get done in the budget, what things did get done in the budget, and what's left to do. And, you know, it seemed like there was no time for some downtime and for some people to do some hearings. It seems like we just went from the budget to the fall session, and there we were. So what were you guys looking for when you started the fall session, Mark?
Well, we started the fall session. I mean, there, following the budget, there were still several pieces of legislation that we thought needed attention. While there were funding issues inside the budget, that and many very good things happened, and in every budget, it's not always going to be good for any particular interest group or all bad. It's a mixed bag. But by and large, this particular budget, I think, was very good for local government. There were clearly some issues that we would have preferred that went a different way, but by and large, it was a very good session for local government. Some things, and what we were looking to get done after the session, they also fall into the category of didn't get done, but maybe need to get done next session. Things like the dark stores issue. We talked about this in a previous episode of the show. It's where really we're talking about a shift between our shift of property taxes onto homeowners. There's that issue. Workers' compensation did not get done. There was some thought that it might get done. That is going to be a major issue next session. There is a judicial issue, assistant district attorneys. We were hoping that this might get some attention. It got attention late in the budget, but in the end did not get done. Protective status for jailers. Did not get done. There was, a very good resolution to that issue. Did not happen in the session. Transportation didn't happen in the last session. Didn't happen in the budget. Didn't happen in the extraordinary or special. Didn't happen in the fall session. Didn't happen. That actually absolutely needs to get done, but that did not happen in the fall session. Tax reform, major, major issue. Representative John Mako is doing a lot of work in this area. Thought there might be something that happened in the fall session, did not get done. How we treat 17-year-olds in terms of whether they're juveniles or adults, or what level of institution we place our 17-year-olds that have violated society's rules where they are, that did not get done, although I was somewhat hopeful. So a lot of things did not get done. But I'd also preface that, Gwen and Jerry, it's not for lack of effort. It's not for lack of interest. It's not necessarily for lack of consensus. There were many factors that played into all of these things that didn't get done. There may be individual senators or representatives that have trouble with a particular provision. There may be timing issues. There's a whole host of areas. So it's not as if the legislature has shoved these off to the side. We're never going to deal with them. I think we will deal with them when the legislature comes back in January of 2019.
What about you, Jerry? What is the league still looking at needs to get done?
Well, Mark already identified most of it. The dark store issue absolutely has to get dealt with before that, and it's already starting to expand to other forms of commercial property. Before you know it, it's going to be the homeowner's property tax bill, and that's it. Interestingly, the governor's budget, with his veto pen, he actually created a couple of things we had to work on toward the end of session. One of them was the historic property tax credit if you renovate historic properties, which was key to downtown redevelopment. And if you go to any of our cities these days, you see it's happening everywhere. Well, the governor's administration was very concerned about the fiscal impact of that on the state. It's a tax credit, and you can only give away just so much of the tax revenue, right? So in his veto, the governor chopped that program back to a level that frankly just wouldn't work. So that was one of our late session topics that had to be addressed. Thankfully, the governor's office was very willing to work with everybody, and we passed a new historic tax credit program that works very well. One area that We're not quite sure the governor fixed. We think he may have broken it with a veto, is in the very difficult area of placement of sexual predators.
I was just going to ask you about that.
Yeah. Well, for the audience, this is a tough issue, and it divides cities and towns. It's when a violent sex offender serves his or her time. You know, the Constitution says you got to let him out of jail somewhere at some point. Well, nobody wants them living next door. And Wisconsin has some very strict laws. Local governments have some very strict ordinances about where they can be placed. And one of the pieces of that was you have to be at least 1,500 feet from, for lack of a better word, a place where children or other vulnerable populations may live. The legislation that was passed in the fall eliminated the 1,500-foot rule, not to make things more dangerous, but to give county circuit judges more flexibility to figure out the best placement. Well, the governor signed that bill, but he item vetoed the 1,500-foot elimination out of it. So the result is you still have these 1,500-foot circles all over the state. And unfortunately, I think for rural areas, this is going to put us right back to square one, where a judge is going to look at the circles on a map and say, you know what? The only place you can live is out in the country somewhere, which is what put us in this position in the first place. So that's some unfinished business that we'll be working on. I'm sure the Towns Association will have an interest in it as well.
Yeah, that was an interesting item because previously, an individual who may have committed a crime or been resided in County A may have been placed after they've served their time in County X. And the legislation essentially said the individual is going to go back to the county in which they resided. And then it provided flexibility among the local government officials about where that individual might be. But the restriction that Jerry is talking about is because of the veto, even the number of areas that the individual can be placed is further restricted in that county. But what the original legislation did, we may have had several sex offenders in who resided in County A, several of them being placed in County X. Now they're going to be back in County A, only it's limited as to where they can go. This will be an issue that will need to be addressed in the future.
And it seems like this isn't just an issue that's being legislated, but this is an issue that's coming up in the courts as well and deciding where they're allowed to place them. Do they have to be placed in the county of origin or originally where they came from, or can some of these ordinances put people who are from Milwaukee in northern Wisconsin? So I think it's something we're liable to see more court cases on as the year continues.
Well, this is there's going to be a body of law that's going to be applied to this, and we'll see where this all shakes out. We're a fair distance away from having this issue settled.
All right. Well, when we come back, we're going to talk about what's ahead this summer and what gets done during the interim.
The Wisconsin Counties Association represents Wisconsin's 72 counties at both the state and federal level. Learn more about how counties impact your community at wicounties.org.
So every even-numbered year, when most people are out following the campaigns, we follow the Legislative Council Study Committees, and we follow the governor's requirements to his state agencies. What is the governor telling the state agencies that they need to put in the budget, and what issues is Ledge Council really diving into? Now, we know that Ledge Council is always given recommendations by the legislature, and usually there's about 80 or 100 recommendations, and they try to break that down to about 10 or 12 committees that come out of that. So, Jerry, what committees do you think we might see in the study committees that should be out, we should be getting ballots from Ledge Council soon?
Well, I don't know about all of them. I think Dark Store is one that Republicans and Democrats alike want to put behind them.
I think Senator Fitzgerald requested one for Dark Stores.
Yep. And while I have my own opinion about whether or not we need even more research on what is, frankly, a very obvious problem, if they can move the ball by doing a legislative council committee on Dark Store and Walgreens, we're all for it.
Mark?
Well, I haven't seen a list of the requests. I'd like to take a look at that, but I think dark stores is likely to be one of those issues. I think we may see something in the tax area. I think it's possible we see something in the corrections arena. Perhaps a little less likely now that the juvenile corrections package did pass. But we've got a real opportunity with juvenile corrections in this state to do something big and bold in regard to how we treat our young people who have violated society's rules. I know the Pew Research Group is very interested in looking at what Wisconsin has done and possibly what we could do that might be somewhat innovative and different in how we treat these young people. So I think there's an opportunity. Whether Ledge Council plays a role in that or not, I'm not quite certain. I do think, though, the Ledge Council process is an excellent one. This allows smart people, without the pressure of the legislative session and timing, to get together, hash out issues, take a lot of good thought, and package it in some kind of a legislative proposal that gets attention next session. So I'm really strongly encouraged by it, and I'm looking forward to whatever Ledge Council does.
So let's talk a little bit about how that committee structure works. So the legislature approves those study committees, and they assign the chairs. There are members of the public who serve on those. How do those members get picked? Are they made by recommendations from your organizations? Are they made by recommendations from the legislature? Does legislative council find those people? How do we find those people who serve as at-large members of the study committee?
Yes.
Yes, yes, and yes. That's right.
All of the above, Gwen. They quite often, if it's a topic that interests counties, they'll go to Mark, or if it's municipalities, they'll come to me. Towns, they'll go to the Towns Association. Legislators themselves will know of a constituent with a particular area of interest or expertise. And quite often, government itself, the university, is a terrific place for experts. And hopefully, they look for a balance of interests. Sometimes they make that work, sometimes they don't. I will tell you, speaking just personally, I've been very disappointed about the Ledge Council process lately. It just seems to me they're no longer really coming up with good, quality, politically passable solutions. Last session, we really need to address the emergency medical system crisis in rural Wisconsin,
which is a podcast we just did a couple weeks ago.
The Ledge Council committee on that basically was a punt that missed the ball, completely missed it. And we have to fix that issue. That won't go away. I would love to see them tackle tax reform. I know this is heresy coming out of my mouth, but property taxes in Wisconsin are too high. The reason they're too high is not that we spend too much money, but that we try to get too much out of that cow. We've got schools, vocational schools, counties, cities, and they all depend on the property tax to the near exclusion of anything else. That's got to be fixed. But until I have a little more faith in the legislative council process, I'm not sure I would wish it to go down that route. We might never see it again.
It seems like every session the Ledge Council study committees come out with bills or recommendations, LRB draft bills that they forward. Some of those are introduced as separate legislation and passed, and a lot of those can be stuck into the budget or can be introduced as different legislation or kind of be a springboard where another legislator will take it and go somewhere from there. One of the things that I could see being an issue is the wineries and the hours and the liquor license and in how all of those are done in the state, because that was an issue that we saw in several different ways, ending up with an amendment that might have affected tailgating.
That's a prime candidate.
Never mess with tailgating. Okay, come on, write that down. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion, never mess with tailgating.
I think Jerry's right on that. I think all the Ledge Council members will be of that mindset. That's a prime candidate for a Ledge Council review. In fact, it's likely they would get into issues far beyond the winery issue. I think I wouldn't be surprised if we saw something on that. But you're right, Gwen. The Ledge Council puts together proposals that find their way into separate legislation or sometimes get folded into the budget. And I know some people are concerned about some of the policy type issues that get folded into the budget. There's another school of thought is that the budget is the largest single policy document that the legislature passes every 2 years. And there's a school of thought and a pretty good argument that can be made that says if you want to affect policy, the budget is a prime place to put that. So we're on both sides of the issue. We have members that do not like policy in the budget. It ought to be a purely fiscal document. We have other members that say that's the prime place to get some good policy in the budget because, in essence, you know that that document is absolutely going to pass, albeit maybe a little later than we all anticipate, but it is going to pass. So we've had thoughts on both sides of the issue.
Yeah, and I would agree with Mark. I think it's a fiction to say that you can strip policy out of the state budget. The state, what is the state except an expression of our collective policy and what we want to spend money on? I want to jump back to that alcohol licensing issue. The way people, or I should say the places people want to recreate is changing significantly, and it wasn't all that rapidly. Our alcohol policy is still based around a corner tavern. It's still focused on how many corner taverns do we want in downtown Medford, Wisconsin. I get more phone calls on this issue from my members than on any other. You know, we want to build a new venue. We want to do something outdoorsy. We want to do, you know, there are new businesses in town that want to do cooking experiences where they serve a little wine. Wisconsin's alcohol law is about three generations behind, and it really does need to be brought up to speed.
Well, I think we will see in the next week or so when those committees are noticed and who the chairs are on what work we're going to come forward. And then we always get the governor's directions to the state agencies in early summer, finding out what the governor's priorities are for the agencies as they move forward. And as always, we will continue to follow everything. You can find it on the Wheeler Report, and you can find it in both the Municipalities Magazine and the Wisconsin Counties Association Magazine. And for anything specific that we talked about today, you can make sure that you look at the podcast blog so that you can find those documents and make sure that you check out the podcast details. So subscribe to the new podcast on your podcast app so you never miss our episodes. And thanks for joining me, guys.
Thank you, Gwen.